Well, we're starting a new series today, and that series is going to be entitled Realizing the Power. Realizing the Power. Now, this is taken from a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And I hope they got my change up there. I sent them 2 Timothy chapter 2, and that is the wrong chapter. But hopefully they got that change up there. So we're going to read this. Know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, we are living in the last days. And this word perilous means hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous, grievous, harsh, fierce, and savage. That is the definition of that word perilous in the Greek. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. I know it might sound like we're going to talk about all those things because everyone knows how I like a list, but that is not the point of this series. This is just where we're taking the concept of talking about realizing the power. So then he goes on to say, having a form of godliness. Now he starts in verse 5 of that chapter, and what he begins doing is listing 7 religious and moral sins that the people at the end will be guilty of. And this is the first of those things that we need to watch out for. Having a form of godliness. A form of godliness. Now, that word godliness in the Greek is eusebia. 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 And that word means reverence, respect, and devotion toward God. And if we were ever living in a day when there is a lack of reverence, respect, and devotion to God, this is that day. And the Bible says that there are perilous times coming upon this earth, and those perilous times, one of the things that's going to happen is that people will have a form of reverence and respect and devotion to God, but denying the power thereof. That word power in the Greek is the same word that we get dynamite from. It's dunamis, and it is inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, power for performing miracles, moral power and excellence of soul, influence and strength. And so in the end of time, there are going to be people that look the part but deny the power of being the part. And that is the perilous time. And he warns us from such turn away. All right, so back in the Old Testament, the prophet Hanani spoke a word of judgment to Asa, the king of Judah. And in this pronouncement, Hanani gives us a glimpse of the desire of God toward people when he says this, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." Now that sounds scary, doesn't it? Oh, he's going to see me make a mistake. He's going to zap me. That's not what Hanani says. Hanani says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And why is this happening? To show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The eyes of the Lord are searching for somebody that will realize the power of God in their lives. We are not weaklings. The church of the living God is not going to barely limp in to the kingdom of God. We are going to be received into the kingdom of God with great pomp and circumstance. When the bride comes home, there's going to be a party, and God is going to receive a glorious church. And the Bible says that the latter house is going to be greater than the former house. We are not just barely eking by. This world can toss and turn all it wants to. This world can shake all it wants to. But I am anchored to the solid rock of the revelation of who Jesus is. And I have power, according to God's word, to be able to stand in an evil day. Come on, give God praise and glory right now. God is looking for somebody that he can display his power in their life and show them how great he is. So today we're going to talk about the thunder of his power. The thunder of God's power. In Job 26, the man is in the midst of his testing. Those whom he would call friends have had their say. And one of those friends' name was Bildad. And Job rebukes Bildad for his presumption. He begins in verse 5 of that chapter to talk about the greatness of God. God stretches the northern sky over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps the rain in his thick clouds, and the clouds do not burst with the weight of the rain. He covers the face of the moon and shrouds it with clouds. He created the horizon and he separated the waters. He set the boundary between day and night. The foundations of heaven tremble. They shudder at his rebuke. By his power, the sea grows calm. And by his power, he stirs the very oceans and the seas. And he decorated the heavens with all of the beauty that is found therein. And here in verse 14 of Job 26, Job sums up this thought that he has about the power of God. He said, "Lo, these are parts of his ways." This isn't by any stretch of the imagination the full spectrum of the power of our God. This is just a part of his power. This is just a little glimpse of his power. When God said, "Let there be," and there was, that's just a little part of the power of God. When God stretched out the universe and created a swathing band around the earth, that was just a part of the power of God. When God created the sun, all the millions of degrees hot, God never broke a sweat. It was just a part of his power, just a little piece of his power. Job says, "This is all we've seen, is just a part of his ways." But how little a portion is heard of him. How small and how seemingly insignificant when compared to the whole. Are we seeing the power of God in its fullness? He said, "Who then can comprehend the thunder of his power?" Aren't you glad you serve a powerful God? Aren't you glad you serve a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us? Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad that you know a God that is able to pull you out of the miry pit of sin and set your feet on a rock? I'm glad I know him. I'm glad I met him one day. I'm glad he found me when he was searching for someone to whom he could show himself powerful. These are just the beginning of all that he does. Merely a whisper of his power. Who then can comprehend the thunder of his power? At the end of his reign, throughout, and this would be a lesson for another day, but throughout David's life, he had three times where he asked a question. Who am I, David said. Who am I that I would be the son-in-law of the king? Who am I that you would bring me and my family to this point when he sits as a new king upon his throne? But at the end of David's reign, when he is declaring Solomon to be his successor, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29 and 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. He goes on to ask the question, who am I? Who is my people that we deserve such greatness from the Almighty God? But he gives us a list of five things that are listed in the lexicon as attributes of God. These are not things that are separate from God. They are things that God is. They don't just describe him. He is these things. The first thing he says is greatness, listed as an attribute of God himself, speaking of mighty acts, dignity, and majesty. The second thing he lists is power, an attribute of God meaning valor, victory, force, mastery, might, power, and strength. And then he lists glory, an attribute of God meaning beauty, splendor, finery, renown, honor, and boast. And then he says victory, an attribute of God meaning eminence, perpetuity, strength, enduring, everlastingness, perpetual, continual. And then he says majesty, which is an attribute of God meaning divine excellency, light and glory, which God wears as the King of Kings, grand imposing form and appearance, or lofty. What he is saying here is an attribute is a quality or characteristic of the person. What David is telling us is that this is what God is. God is great. God is power. God is glory. God is victory. And God is majesty. And to us, the message is God is great and he is greatly to be praised. To us, the message is he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. To us, the message is to him be all the glory and the honor and the power forever. Amen. To us, the message is thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. To us, the message is his glory and majesty is unsearchable, and no one may know him and the end of his glory. I don't know about you, but it makes me glad to know that he is mighty acts. He is dignity. He is majesty. He is valor. He is victory. He is force. He is mastery. He is might. He is power. He is strength. He is beauty. He is eminence. He is divine. He is excellent. He is light and glory. He is grand imposing. He is lofty. I'm glad we serve a God that is looking for somebody to whom he can show himself powerful. Let's praise him right now. in the firmament of his power. Come on, somebody. Do you realize the power in your life? Do you realize the power of a God that reached way down and picked your soul up out of the pit of sin? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Job said, we can only see a part of him. We only see a small part of his power. We've seen it in creation. Job said, oh, I wish he could come to me and I could plead my cause and I could talk to him. I've only seen a part of his power in creation. We only see a part of him. He said, as a matter of fact, the part we see is just a little tiny portion of who he is. Just a small part of his power. But he asks a question, can you understand the thunder of his power? The thunder of his power. What an interesting word thunder is. Exodus 9 and 23, God thundered on Egypt. In 1 Samuel 2 and 10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken into pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. 1 Samuel 7 and 10 says, God thundered on the Philistines and it discomfited them and it caused a great victory for God's people. Job 28 and 26, God made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Job 40 and 9, God asked, hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Psalm 77 and 18, the voice of his thunder is in the heavens. Psalm 81 and 7, God answers in the secret place of thunder. Psalm 104 and 7, enemies flee at the voice of his thunder. Job said, do you understand? Can you grasp the thunder of his power? When God speaks, it ends the discussion. When God steps in, the battle is over. When God says, that's the way it is, whether I agree or not. Come on, somebody, give God praise. Give God praise according to his excellent greatness. A lot of talk about thunder, isn't it? I should have had thunder playing. But hold on. Somebody would have probably got up and run out. What is thunder? You know what thunder is? It's not just that thing that makes my dog do this in the middle of the night. Aren't you glad you know the master of the wind? Aren't you glad you know the one that made the storm? You're not meant to be afraid. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You let this world rage the way it wants to. And you let the enemy do whatever they want to do. But as for me and my house, we're not going to be afraid. I will not fear, though a host should encamp against me. I will not fear. I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I want to be in the presence of God. I'm not afraid of what the enemy can do. I'm not afraid of what this world can do, but I'll tell you, I want to be in the presence of the thunder of Almighty God. Oh, yeah. According to the University Corporation for Atmospheric Research, which is UCAR, and we'll just say UCAR from now on, in their Center for Science Education, lightning is a discharge of power in the form of electricity. A single stroke of lightning can heat the air around it to 30,000 degrees Celsius or 54,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And this extreme heat, because of the power of the lightning, this extreme heat causes the air to expand explosively around that lightning. And the expansion creates a shock wave that turns into a booming sound wave that we call thunder. So because of the power, all thunder is a rushing mighty wind. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. On the day of Pentecost, we found the answer to Job's question: who can know the power, the thunder of his power? It happened on the day of Pentecost when he filled us to overflowing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the thunder of God's power. Oh yeah, Job, I'm sorry. You only got to see a little piece of it, but I got to see the whole thing. When I raised my hands and I thanked him for filling me with the Holy Ghost, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I began speaking in other tongues, I found the thunder of the power of God. And that thunder still lives inside of me. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be timid. I can take authority when authority needs to be taken. Why? Because I have experienced the thunder of God's power. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If you've received the Holy Ghost, why don't you do something different than you've done up to this point and praise him with a thunderous praise? Can somebody lift their voice and praise him and make a little thunder in this place? The first church prayed and the place was shaken with their prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I know the thunder of his power. I'm glad that I found the thunder in the secret place. Come on, somebody praise him. Come on, magnify him. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got something to praise him for. Sorry. I get mighty preachy these days. Go back to teaching, Brother Griever. Romans 1 and 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is... Sorry, Job. I know you longed to see it, and you saw all of creation, and you said that was just a piece of it. But I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is not a part of the power of God. It is the power of God. God created the sun and never broke a sweat. But when it came to saving my wretched hide, God said, I'm going to make bare my holy arm. In other words, oh, I got plenty of time. God said, when I needed to save you, I rolled up my sleeves and it took everything I had. He hung on that cross, despising the shame. He hated what he had to go through. He broke a sweat. He bled. He hurt. He was a man acquainted with grief and sorrow. He was chastised for your peace of mind. He said, I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to roll in Isaiah 52. He said, oh, the Lord's going to make bare his holy arm. He's going to open up his sleeve and he's going to roll up his sleeve and say, it's time to get to work. I've got somebody to save. It took everything he had to save a wretch like me. It took every bit of power of God to pull me out of the grip of sin and set my feet on a rock. Somebody, if you have been saved by the power of God, why don't you give him some more praise? You say, we've been doing that all morning. You can't do it enough. You need to break a sweat when you praise him. You need to exert yourself when you praise him. Why do I have to do all that? Because he's been good. He's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody today. The eyes of the Lord are in this place, and he's looking for somebody, someone that he can show himself powerful to. I want to show you how powerful I am. You've got a disease in your body. God says, oh, if you just understood the thunder of my power. God can speak the word and that disease will leave your body today. Not only that, but we can lay hands on you because of the Holy Ghost that is in us. We can lay hands on you today and that disease will leave your body in the name of Jesus. Why? Because of the thunder of his power. He's looking for somebody that he can show himself strong to. Oh yeah. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, the psalmist says, I'm getting gray. I just hope it all turns gray before it turns loose. Hang on, fellas. According to the Bible, life is a vapor. You can hang on that long, can't you? Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. We were told in our leadership meeting, Purpose Institute, we were given some wisdom from Brother Ellingsworth, and I'm about to break one of those. He said, never milk another man's cow. That means don't tell other people's stories. But this is a good one. I was assistant pastor for Brother Steve Cole in Athens, Georgia for 9 years. And he went and he was talking about a revival that he preached when he was young. Is this causing feedback or something? Is this okay? Sitting right here. I'm fat and I need a rest. And he said he preached the same message 5 nights in a row. And it was about, you've got more power than the devil. And he, if you know Brother Steve Cole, he is a preaching machine and he always has been. And very, he just really goes after it. And he kept saying, you've got more power than the devil. Well, they came to him and told him a story about Granny. Granny was sitting in her living room and she was talking and she wasn't being negative, but she was just saying, need to worry about this and worry about that. And that their little granddaughter, maybe 6, 7 years old, they said she suddenly jumped up. And if you know Brother Cole is a very short fella. And he has a way of preaching and he'll stand there like a linebacker. And she jumped up and stood in front of her and she said, Granny, you have more power than the devil. So something he preached got through. Folks, Do I need to say it? The power that lives in a Holy Ghost-filled person's life is the same power that said, let there be. Oh, come on, somebody. You're either oneness or you're not. Jesus is the name of the Father. Jesus is the name of the Son. Jesus is the name of the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. And I'm so glad I found it out just in time. The mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father, the King eternally. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, then you've got the same power that stopped entire armies. You've got the same power that caused a sea to roll back right in front of God's people. I'm telling you, you've got more power than you realize. And we are not going to live in this last day as people who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. I'm going to kick the door open today. I'm going to tell you, you've got more power than the enemy. You've got more power than this earth. You've got more power than all the armies that are on this earth. You've got more power living inside of you than anything that could ever come against you because of the thunder of His power. God has given you the power. Give God praise and glory right now. I can walk on serpents. I can take up serpents. I can walk on scorpions. I can drink something that's poison. It won't hurt me. Oh, don't worry. We're not going to tempt God, but I'll tell you, nothing shall by any means hurt you because of the power that lives inside of you. You can say, let there be, and it'll happen. God said, if you'll just do it over and over and over, you will see these things take place. Your children can be saved. Your parents can be saved. Your family can be saved. Why? Because you know the thunder of His power. Come on, somebody, give Him praise.
Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice as loud as you can and give Him praise. Ha.
Brother Harrington, ain't nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong with it. But somehow, we got too dignified. And when we get too dignified and sophisticated, here's another Steve Cole. You all hear Steve Cole preach and teach every time I talk. I'm just letting you know. And that's the truth. Steve Cole Jr., except I am way bigger than he is. He looked at me one time. I was carrying this big ladder when we were building a church. And then he looked over at my wife and he said, man, that's a big guy. But we get sophisticated. You know what? Sophisticated. Stuffocated. Suffocated. We know so much that just isn't so. Ain't no devil can sneak up on you if you're in touch with Jesus. The Bible says the glory of the Lord will be your reward. You know what that means? That means the glory of God stands behind you and ain't gonna let nothing attack you from behind. Oh, the thunder of His power. He overshadows you. He watches you. Not waiting on you to make a mistake, Brother Perry. That's not what God's doing. God's watching. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard. And just in time, just like those old movies, when the cavalry shows up just in time, here comes God. And when God shows up, the Bible says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. When God shows up, the enemy turns and runs. Why? Because of the thunder of his power. Because God is with you. He said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. Oh, come on, somebody. So you, even if you're old and gray-headed, you've got to tell the next generation how powerful he is. Do you remember? Is there anybody in here that has been miraculously, immediately healed? Raise your hand. Miraculously, immediately. I mean the pain. Keep it up. Yeah, look around you. Immediately. That means that you were in pain and suddenly the pain was gone. Raise your hand again. You had a disease and suddenly it was gone. Oh yeah. How many of you has God, when the doctor said no hope, but you're still here? Is there anybody raise your hand? There you go. I'm raising my hand on purpose because the doctor said he ain't gonna live. And I'm still breathing. Anybody ever had something that was devastating happen to you financially and all of a sudden God just stepped in? Raise your hand. Why don't you wave a little bit? All of you that have raised your hand, why don't you lift your hand right now and just wave it back and forth? You know what the Bible said? Take your offering before the Lord and wave it before him. Can somebody wave a little bit and say, I remember the time that the eyes of the Lord found me and you showed yourself powerful to me. So I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you for the rest of my life. If nothing else ever happens that way, I'm going to praise you. You know why? Because there's another generation that's up there in the Sunday school rooms that needs to hear the gray-headed people say, I know a God that is more powerful than the enemy. Oh. His right hand is glorious in power. He delivered from Egypt with his mighty power. God is our strength and our power. God exalts by his power. He is excellent in power. Power belongs to God. In 2 Chronicles 20 and 6, power and might are in his hand. Nehemiah 1 and 10, God redeems by his great power and his strong hand. Psalm 147 and 5, great is our Lord and of great power. Jeremiah 10 and 12, he hath made the earth by his power. Romans 1 and 20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Hebrews 1 and 3 says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. 1 Corinthians 1 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'm glad I know the power of God. I'm glad I came in contact with the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. God performed this with his zeal. He performed this with his holy zeal and a desire to show himself powerful. The Bible says, what if God, willing to show his power, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, decided instead to have mercy on the vessels. Somebody say, that's me, appointed to destruction. You see, we've gotten very sophisticated and we've forgotten. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me whiter than snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. If we could understand the sentence of death that was upon us. In Ecclesiastes, the preacher said that there is no way to slip death. He said there's no way for a spirit of man, for a man to retain his spirit. When his spirit is required, the man has no power in himself to hold on to his spirit. He even says that you cannot escape the appointment you have with death by covering yourself with wickedness. We all have an appointment. And the preacher is saying there is no way that you can miss this appointment. When it is your time, your life is over. That's what the preacher said. He talks about vanity, about princes that cannot escape. The prophet Hananiah spoke to Asa, king of Judah. And Asa, king of Judah, did things that weren't pleasing to the Lord. And it's interesting that he died of a disease in his feet that got very bad. And he laid as a dead man. And the Bible says that the apothecaries, the Bible tells us that Asa trusted the physicians instead of trusting in God. And that the apothecaries surrounded him with all kinds of sweet-smelling flowers, and great was the burning of it. But nothing could stop the grip of death until, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh, do you mean you're going to live forever? Oh, yeah, but I got to die. It's okay. Because the sting of death was sin. And he who knew no sin became sin for me. And so he removed the sting of death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I'm so glad that Jesus took away the sting of death, and thanks be to God, he gave me the victory. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know the thunder of his power. I'm glad I've come in contact with the power of God. He made a way for me when there was no way, and according to the preacher, I had a death sentence on me that I couldn't escape. But God, who is rich in mercy, came to me and saved me from a devil's hell. Come on, somebody. If God pulled you out of the miry pit of sin, you ought to lift your voice as loud as you can and thank him with every bit of strength that is in your body. Make his praise glorious. Make his praise thunderous in this place. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice just for a few moments. We're done here today in this class, but I know there's people in this place that are realizing the power. Come on, let's praise him. Let's magnify his name. Hallelujah. 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 Clap your hands, everybody, and shout with your voice, with a voice of triumph. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad for the power of God? The thunder of his power. Amen, amen. God bless you. We're going to join back here in about 15 minutes. And God is going to help us today. Amen. Remember, the eyes of the Lord are in this place. And he's looking for somebody that he can show himself powerful to. It might as well be you. Amen. God bless you.